Good morning, you brave souls who weathered this rain and came out anyway. It's always good to see you. I don't know how many of you came to the Harvest Festival. How many of you came? Oh, a good amount. I mean, I thought it was amazing. It's just incredible what Athey does for the kids in this body. And I mean, it's just so over the top. But I love that because the kids had such a good time. It was just so much fun seeing them enjoying themselves. And I thought, you know, the Lord has wonderful ways of speaking to me. Even a week ago, I don't know if you saw my son Tad in the dunk tank or not, but I mean, that's something to behold too, to just watch. You know, it's so funny because you'd see the older kids come up and you'd think, oh gosh, he's in there, you know, and they'd aim and they'd throw hard and the ball would be somewhere else, you know, and the little six-year-old comes up and boom, you know. it was so funny, but Tad was really having fun with the little kids, you know, because he was imploring them, you know, and one of the things I heard him say is, he goes, you know, he's saying, no, you don't want to do that, you don't want to do that, you know, and he's saying, the Bible says to be kind. He even got one to try to divert the attention and said, here, throw it here and I'll catch it, you know, and I thought, no, it's not working with the kids, you know, but it was very, very sweet, very, very fun just to watch the kids have such a good time. And I was sorry we missed it, but at the same time, it was for such a good cause. I thought since we did have a little break, I'm going to go ahead and just read those first verses in 1 Corinthians 13. And it said, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. And I'm sure you were all anticipating that is where we would land this morning, having looked at patience last time. This morning we're going to look at the fact that love is kind. And one of the things that I think is real interesting to note is that in these words that are used to describe love, they are verbs, you know. Has nothing to do with feeling, which as women, we can be so given to, you know, how we feel about something, whether something stirs our hearts. If we feel something, we'll follow through with it. That's the way we can be. But the thing that we need to recognize is as we go through this chapter, it is not about feeling. You know, it's about doing. A verb. It's an action word. And I think that is something for us to hang on to and to remember. In 1 John 3:18 it says, little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, talk, but in deed and in truth. Love can be expressed through words, but it's not shown through words, is it? And that's why we have that expression, you know, that a person's walk needs to match their talk. So it's what we do that speaks love far more loudly than what we say. And I know we've all experienced that on the receiving end. I love in 1 John there, when you go back just a couple of verses to verse 16, it says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us." And that's a verse to just stop and think about all by itself. That this is how we know he loves us. He laid down his life for us. But the verse that follows that is even more powerful for us. And it says, "And we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren." Or as it says in the New Living Translation, "We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters." Do you think it's interesting to see the correlation? This is 1 John 3:16 to John 3:16. And I know that the verses are not inspired, but I just thought, I mean, surely that wasn't planned, and yet there's so much the same way. And John 3:16, of course, we all know it by heart, you know, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." And what I picture in my mind when I read that is that it's a small circle. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's a small unit. But in this one, where it says, "So we also ought to give up our lives for our sisters and brothers," to me it's like in this verse the circle has been enlarged to include us in it. Now, one of the things we have to remember is that the phrase "laying down our lives" is not speaking of those spontaneous loving acts that we might do when everything lines up the right way, you know, and when the circumstances are just such that our hearts are moved and we're prompted to do something. That's not laying down our lives. In fact, I mean, we might even be just, in fact, we often are, just as blessed in the doing of that kind of a thing as the person is in the receiving of it. So that's not what laying down our lives is. And yet, when we first think of kindness, the thing that came to my mind is that it seems doable. I mean, if you just first think about kindness. I mean, whereas when we're talking about, like we did last time, about love being patient, a lot of us know we struggle in that area, that we're not patient. But kindness, I mean, is being kind that difficult? And there are multiple opportunities in every single day that are given to us where we can be kind. We can do something. We can say something that is kind. So to me, there can be that sense that it's within reach. It's something we can do. In fact, you probably have all seen the bumper sticker, and it's one I like, and it says, you know, "Do random acts of kindness." I like that concept. And in fact, that's one of the things that is kind of popular today in terms of showing kindness. And that is what they now call paying it forward. And we've all seen, maybe some of you experience, we've all seen those stories on the news where people are going through a drive-through and they go up to the window and they're told, "Oh, someone in another car paid for you." And I've already seen that on the news multiple times, and I decided it's because the news is so awful that the broadcasters are always looking for something that'll just kind of balance a little, you know, kind of lift the viewers' spirits. And a story like that kind of just makes you feel good. I even heard of a story happening in my very favorite restaurant. The only problem is that I wasn't there to enjoy it. But Paula was. And when Paula went to pay, she was told someone had already paid for her. And she said it was an amazing thing because in the restaurant, all the servers were just like a twitter. She said they were all excited and everybody was happy and feeling good because it had been so much fun. They said to her that people had been doing it all morning. And that is what happens. In other words, that kind of kindness has a momentum of its own, doesn't it? It has a way of just kind of making you want to do the same thing, making you want to just, somebody paid for me, then I think I'll pay for someone else as well. That's the way kindness can be. And that is wonderful. It's a great gesture. It makes everybody happy. But when we talk about those kinds of acts, do you think that is what Paul had in mind when he said, love is kind? I think what we just heard about is a kindness. But if we were to leave it on that level, I'm sure we would really be missing it. Giving God free rein to love through us is the way that we live for God, even when we don't feel particularly loving. You know those times. The times when, if left to our own inclination, we might turn a blind eye, go down a different road. I think of the story that Jesus told, and if you want to turn there, it's in Luke 10. I'm going to read it to you, because it's kind of long. But a lawyer had come up to him and asked him, what did he have to do to gain eternal life? And this is what Jesus said, Luke 10, and I'm going to start in the 25th verse. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. Verse 35, the next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Now, can we read that story and not think of kindness. And I think many of us might even identify with that beggar. You know, perhaps we felt beaten up by life and left half dead when Jesus came to us. And he bound up our wounds. He poured out his life for us. And he said to the Father to forgive us, that he would pay for our sins. Now that is the kindness of God. And that is his kindness toward us. So I think when we're talking about being kind, when we're picturing kindness, we would do better to stop seeing it on the horizontal and see it instead as God's kindness toward us. You know, it's funny because in preparing the teachings for this study, my mind keeps going back to the period of time that I walked away from the Lord in my life. And normally, I mean, I'll say it once in a while because I want people to know that. I think that's important. But I don't usually, it's not something I just reference all the time. And I thought, I had something I wanted to share in this. And I thought that I've already referenced that. And I thought, I know why I keep thinking of the time that I was apart from the Lord. Because it was his love that drew me back. So as I'm focusing on his love, how would I not have my mind going back to the time that I was on the receiving end of it in a way that changed my life, turned me around, drew me back. And it's kind of interesting, you know, we hear the stories, we hear the testimonies of people who had wandered away from the Lord and then how their life became, you know, just a horrible mess, you know, and how in that place they looked up and realized, you know, they needed to get back to God. And not that those stories aren't real, and they're powerful testimonies to hear. To know that, as I forget which writer said it, but, you know, said that God saves to the guttermost, you know. And for sure, he does. But that isn't when the Lord drew me back. It was just the opposite. It was a time in my life when, as far as material things were concerned, I had more material things than I had ever had in my entire life. There was great abundance. You know, I thought of, and I thought, they're not going to know who Ethel Merman is. See, you don't. But, oh, someone raised their hand. Good, Marilyn. See? But she had a song that she used to sing, "Everything's Coming Up Roses," you know. And that was kind of like what my life was then. Everything was great. And you know how the Lord used it? He used it to accentuate an emptiness that I was feeling inside. An emptiness that all that abundance did not touch, did not fill. Because it was that emptiness that could only be filled with the Lord himself. And there was a song at that time that, well, it's a verse he gave me first, and then it coincided with a song that they would sing back then, and they sang it often. And it's Jeremiah 31:3. "I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. I hear it. In Romans 2, verse 4, it says, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. The kindness of God is a saving love. His kindness has saved us from hell. It's provided our salvation. In Titus 3, verse 4 and 5, it says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. The kindness of God is a merciful love. A love shown to people who do not even deserve to be loved. God saved you. God saved me. God saved us. Not because we were so particularly lovable, but because he is kind and merciful. In Luke 6, verses 32 through 36, it says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. And you might be sitting here, maybe you've been going through a lot of things, there are a lot of demands on your life, and you just feel drained, and you're thinking, you know, I'd love to be that way too, but Judy, right now, I am on empty. I mean, there is nothing. That's one reason I'm here this morning. I'm hoping to be filled a little. I'm on empty. But a verse, and probably loads of you have it highlighted in your Bible too, and it's one of my favorites from Lamentations 3, is where it says, his compassions are new every morning. And in the New American Standard Bible, it says, God's loving kindnesses are new every morning. And so what I love is what I read in a commentary from that verse, and it says, God offers a fresh supply every day. Like the manna God supplied every morning in the wilderness, the supply cannot be exhausted. So again, it's like the picture of the wells that I shared a couple of weeks ago. His well is always full, right to the top. And we can go to that. If you're sitting here this morning and you think, I am on empty, it means you're trying to draw from your well, your own resources, and we're all going to go to our own well and have days where we find it totally empty. And we have to remember that his is always full, just there for us to dip into. His compassions, his loving kindnesses are new every morning. There's not one of us who hasn't been the recipient of his kindness. I was thinking, it's his kindness that I woke up in a warm bed this morning. that I went downstairs and I fixed myself a cup of tea, that I read the word, that I talked to him, that I was able to open my refrigerator door and had lots of food in for me to fix my breakfast, that I could go upstairs and have a shower and there were clothes in my closet to wear, a dependable car in my garage to drive here. All of those things. That is his kindness. It was interesting because this week there were several times I heard myself, I mean, I think I've told you this before, because I live alone, I can talk out loud to the Lord all the time. And I do. And I heard myself exclaim, God, you are so kind to me. And after I had heard myself say this a few times, I started wondering, is he giving me eyes to see how kind he is and his kindness in my life, because it's going to be the subject we're talking about this week? And then I thought, is it only because the word kind is on the front of my brain because of today that I'm seeing his kindness? And I'd love to think that that isn't true, and yet, maybe. Because we can receive his kindness all day long and miss it. And yet he continues to show his kindness to us. And yet for all the kindness he shows me, constantly, surely his greatest act of kindness toward me is my salvation. And as we saw in Titus 3, it was not because of righteous things I had done. I did not one thing to deserve it. The thought that God wants to love others through us is both humbling and amazing. That he would use us. What a privilege it is that he would do anything through us, that he wants to love through us. And it should certainly supply the incentive for a class like this to learn more about his love, to have it on the front of our minds because we are studying it. We should want his love to be flowing through us. And yet, I would dare say that any time we allow his love to flow through us, we'll recognize it, only because it is so far superior to any act of love we would ever show or feel. In this study, we're going to be constantly seeing the contrast between Jesus and us. We'll see, and we are looking at all those things, the earthly things that hinder his love from flowing through us. You know, essentially, our humanness. Like Pogo, we can say we have met the enemy, and he is us. You know, 2,000 years before Pogo, John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. And that's what this is all about. It's God's kindness that saves us and brings about change in us. We've all heard the saying, you know, he didn't save us so that we could stay the same. And I love the fact that we're his ongoing projects. I always love to think that. I have comforted myself with that many times when I've fallen on my face, that he's not weary with me. He's still working on me. And he's still working on you. And sometimes we see it in big things, but I think it shows up even in little things. And a little story that came to my mind was running into a gal. This was the very week that the study was going to start, and I ran into a gal who's been going to Athe as long as I have. And so when she told me she was signed up for the class, I was so surprised because she absolutely never comes to the studies. And she said, and she had told me that before, that she had a son who used to always encourage her, "Mom, you know, go to those studies. Be at Athe more, you know. It'll encourage you." And he was always, you know, the one trying to get her to do this, and she would just never do it. And I guess now he's moved away and he's out of state or something. And so this is the very week of the study, and they were talking on the phone. And she mentioned, just kind of in passing, that, "Well, I'm going to the woman's study on Thursday morning." And she said, he said, "Who is this? And what have you done with my mother?" You know, and I love that. It's a little change, but it really signifies the change that he does in us, little by little. And I love the fact that he does that. And when we see the changes on a bigger scale, it's always exciting, it's always wonderful. But even in those little things, it's his kindness that doesn't allow us to remain the same. There are a lot of women here who probably at one time in your life didn't even want to go to church, let alone a woman's study. For sure, I've fallen with that latter group. And yet, what has he done in us? He's brought about that change. And look at us, here we all are this morning. That's the Lord. He indwells us. And because he indwells us, miracle of miracles, his love will be evidenced in our lives. And one of the ways it will be seen is through kindness. Let's pray. Father, I do give you thanks because you work on us ever so gently, ever so faithfully, bringing about changes in us, Lord, that even sometimes we hardly can perceive. And yet at other times, you bring us to a crossroads in our lives where we see clearly you're calling for change. And in those times, Lord, it's your loving kindness that draws us, that woos us to the change that'll literally save our lives, our salvation. And how we thank you for that, Lord. Father, I thank you so much that you're showing us so clearly that the love that you're describing is an action. We can say all sorts of things. We can use perhaps very convincing words, but it's our lives, it's the action that the people hear, that the people respond to. Lord, love through us. Fill us to overflowing with your love. That is our prayer. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.